love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
Go, go, Power Rangers!
Luro.
You come out here and try to get the sympathy of the people, but you don't get my sympathy at all.
And Marvel 2K.
It's survey time. Is there anybody here to see WCW?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to 126 of Comic Conversations, where we talk all things comics for the week of January 13th, 2016. And as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Marvel 2K and Lural. Lural, how you doing tonight?
You don't get my simpy at all.
And Marvel 2K.
I'm offended by your ham, sir.
Best line of the week.
All right, let's go into our first segment, as always, news. It's funny how I say the first segment as always, but really, as of late, it's been lightning around. It's been a while since we've had comic book news, but we actually have some news this week. The first of which being a new Punisher series in the works.
Supposedly, yeah. They haven't officially stated it, but tons of people are like saying it's a done deal, more or less.
That's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it.
Yeah, I guess apparently spinning off of whatever they're doing in Daredevil.
Yeah, apparently he's going to show up rather early on in season 2 from what I'm reading, so.
No, so again, doing their high spot early. Okay, makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next story. Apparently in the new Civil War 2, there's going to be a big death that they're teasing. And
the big death leads to Civil War 2, apparently.
Ah, okay. Well, it takes place within the event. Any speculation?
Somebody comes back to life, probably the guy who died. That'd be awesome.
It could be two entirely different people, because I'm of the opinion that the person they're going to bring back is probably Xavier.
Also, there's supposedly a leak to the storyline that leads to Civil War 2, but I'm not sure if I exactly believe it, because it's somebody like She-Hulk dying and somebody else or something. But I don't know. It's one of those things, you read it online and it could just be fake.
Could be Bruce Banner dying. I mean, they haven't been using him so far, and we saw that something led to him happening in that Hulk book, so maybe in Civil War they'll shed some light on it.
I don't see how that's going to lead some guy who's not even in any book.
True.
I don't see it, but well, we'll see. I don't know. And then like you said, there's the thing about Dead No More. They're teasing somebody coming back. It's supposed to be unrelated. Well, they claim it's unrelated because it came out 2 days later.
You're just begging for them to bring it back, aren't you?
2 days after the Civil War news, they brought that out. So
listen, fucking the Fantastic Four are gone. They killed Namor. They bring Namor back.
Well, I think it is Xavier, like Femin said. They keep kind of teasing it now.
So we're going to have another X-Men focused.
Yes.
Well, that'll make the X-Men fans happy because they're all butthurt that the Marvel Universe doesn't revolve around mutants. However, given sales of the Inhuman books, I can say that the Inhumans are not catching on.
Stop trying to make them a thing, Marvel. They're not the X-Men.
And the funny thing is, I like the Inhumans books. Like, I like them more than the X-Men books. But people ain't going for it.
No.
Like, you're trying it on your TV shows. People just ain't going for it.
Oh, by the way, I'm looking at the sales for December. Just issue one sold of all new Inhumans was 58,000. Only one X-Men book beat it. All new X-Men.
Oh, really?
But like I said, this was a number one. But the X-Men book that beat it was also a number one.
Huh.
Oh, okay, my bad. But they're not selling, like, you know, top books.
Well, we won't.
Then again, the Inhumans are involved in top books, but they're not really the focus in any of them.
Uncanny Inhumans was 43,000. So yeah, that one doesn't sell that well, but it's not bad. It's fine.
I have heard some people on other podcasts, like other comic podcasts, who are like, you know, we're not upset about the Inhumans thing.
Oh,
like,
never mind. All new Inhumans 2 also came out that same month, and it's in 75, so no, it's not catching on.
That's what I looked at then. I listen to other comic podcasts, and they're all really, like, anti the Inhumans. Like, they hate them. Mm-hmm. But they do some ridiculous things. Like, they're talking about, like, well, look at how many Inhuman books there are. There's Inhumans, all new Inhumans. And then they kind of pause, and they're like, Karnak, which has come out once, Miss Marvel, which she is an Inhuman, but I wouldn't call that an Inhumans book. And then they're like, Uncanny Avengers, which has one Inhuman on it.
That's also stretching it.
Yeah, and the reason I heard them doing this was they were like, look at how many X-Men books there are compared to this. And then when they listed X-Men books, like, they ignored Uncanny Avengers, even though it has more mutants than it does Inhumans. They ignored, all new, all different Avengers, even though it's led by a mutant. And it was like, come on, guys, really? You gotta be honest when you're critiquing all this stuff.
All new, all different Avengers is led by...
Or no, I mean all new Avengers, sorry. Or just new Avengers.
Because
they're not all new.
And that's discounted?
Then again, in all new, all different, they're not all new, because you got Vision, Thor, and Iron Man.
Oh, they got the young guy. They're putting over young talent. Yeah,
they're new, but the book is not all new, is what I'm saying. It's not all of them are new.
They're so grasping for straws there.
Touché.
False advertising.
All right. Is that going to do it? Oh, and we got comic book sales for December of 2015. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we were talking about it, but not.
We were kind of talking about it.
We were indirectly talking about it, but now our final news story is the sales for December 2015 finally came out, and what we usually do is we'll go over the top 10. So, Marvel?
Secret Wars 8 was number one.
That shouldn't surprise you until you look at what was number two. Dark Knight 3, The Master Race. It's like, wow, like.
It didn't beat it by that much. And wasn't 10,000? Dark Knight 2 more expensive?
Yeah, it was more expensive. It was $2 more than Secret Wars.
There you go. See? Secret Wars is less of a commitment.
Yeah, but still, they're 8 issues in the event. You think after a while there'd be some drop-off, whereas Dark Knight 3 Master Race is only their second issue in.
Yes, it's doing better than Convergence. But, I mean, that's, you know, whatever. People want to see how it ends. It's fine. We'll see how good issue 9 does. It should be at least as good as issue 1 or, you know, better.
And Batman, or DC got a lot of books in this month.
Yeah, because Batman always sells, and then they did a Harley Quinn special. Smart.
Star Wars is number 3. Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is number 4, which I found odd. Like, I kind of knew that would have some popularity, but the fact that it landed in the top 5.
Okay, if you think about it, though, like, people our age who read comics, we grew up with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, but then you look at the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles sales, and it's nowhere near this.
But it didn't have Batman in it.
Yeah, it has Batman.
It wasn't published by DC, so. So you gotta...
Batman factor.
Yeah, you gotta take everything into account. Batman sells.
Okay, and then number 5 is, of course, Batman. And number 6, another one that was kind of curious, Guardians of Infinity number 1.
I honestly think people got confused. And they thought, oh, it's the new Guardians book. And they forgot that Guardians of the Galaxy already relaunched. So they bought it, and then they're reading it, and they see Rocket Raccoon and stuff, and they're like, oh, who are all these other guys? Oh, well.
By the way, Guardians of the Galaxy number 3 that month, 53,000. So it's number 37 on the list. So it's still selling relatively well, but they've all
kind of not as well as it was.
Yeah, they've all been dropping off. I know for a while, Guardians of the Galaxy was top 20 easy.
Dude, because people, they just want to read X-Men books and Batman books, and even though they're not reading the X-Men books, they don't want to read these other teams. When Guardians of the Galaxy 2 comes out in theaters, Guardians will sell again.
Probably. You know that, like, remember how we were talking about how, like, the movies don't ever affect the sales? That was, like, the only time I think it affected sales.
Wait, though. Another thing that affected sales is they put Bendis on it. Because it came out before the movie came out.
Yeah, but it was still consistently strong. Look at where Iron Man is now. It's number 30. I don't think... I guess to a degree, Bendis is kind of the draw. But I think it's just the Guardians are so over now because of the movie. I don't think it is partially because of the movie, but I guess because of the movie, they became so over. And that carried on, I guess, permanently in the comic books.
And remember, their other books were selling good, too, and they all didn't have Bendis.
Yeah, but they all stopped selling.
Yeah, but
Guardians kept selling.
They all ended, too, so it doesn't matter.
And let's be perfectly honest. I've read those books. Not that great.
A lot of them were nothing books.
Yeah, but quality doesn't always equal sales.
Sometimes it does, but yeah, you're right. You're right.
Uncanny X-Men continued to sell for a long time. And it is a horrible book.
And all new X-Men was consistently in the top 5 or 10. So, yeah, you got a point there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. And from there we have Darth Vader at number 7. 8 is Harley Quinn's Little Black Book. Number 9, Star Wars Annual, which we all liked. Darth Vader Annual, which I loved. And let's see, that's usually what we usually go over is the top 10s. So let's go from there. Let's go to graphic novel. Is there anything notable that you guys want to do off the list? I know we were talking off-air about it, but now that we're actually talking about it, is there anything specifically? As I scroll down, you can tell I'm buying
time. Humans aren't a draw.
Okay. And in top 5 trade paperbacks, we have Private Eye Deluxe Edition Hardcover. I have no idea what this is. It went for $50.
Wow, so, what the hell is that?
Yeah, I know. I went. It's been in some solicitations of the Image books. It's the guy wearing the hoodie with the eyeball and the smiling face.
Oh, yeah, I kind of see it now.
I thought that was going to be a regular series, but apparently it's a one-off thing and they're charging $50 for. Sold nearly 8,000 copies, so good for Image.
Good for that.
It's written by Vaughn.
Oh, there you go. That's it. That also explains why people still like Paper Girls. I'm going to keep harping on that, by the way.
So upset.
Paper Girls is the Sasha Banks of comics.
No, because Sasha Banks had two, or we discussed three really, really good matches.
Apparently on the last play, Green Bay just tied the game. They made a touchdown, so after the
You were field, right about that pass.
Yep, now after the extra point, they're gonna go into overtime.
So now people can figure out when we do the show now. Although I think we said before, we do the show on Saturday nights and it comes out Wednesday morning, so.
Yeah, I'm watching the playoff game.
No spoilers. No, I'm kidding. All right, let's go from there. Harley Quinn Volume 2, Power Outrage is number 2. Let's see, number 3. Oh, okay, they screwed up on the listing right here because they had it listed as 1. Avatar Last Bender Volume 11, Smoke and Shadow Part 2 is number 3. Number 4 is Batman vs. Superman. That was a $10 graphic novel. And rounding out the top 5 is Saga Volume 5. So a couple things kind of came out of left field, but for the most part, everything's usually the same with graphic novels. All right, okay. From there, let's go to the lightning round. Danger, danger. Our voltage. Oh, when we touch, when we get, when we touch, when we get. Okay, for this week's lightning round, we have as follows: Walking Dead, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, New Romancer, Red Wolf, Huck, Black Knight, and round things out, all new X-Men. Guys, do you have any preference where we go from here?
No.
And as always, lightning round titles are titles that only one of us read, or we just decided we're not doing a full review. All right, so let's open with New Romancer, which I thought was great, but at the same time, you guys wanted to bump this up to lightning round, and I wasn't about to fight you.
Yeah, we don't always put stuff in lightning round because it's bad.
Yeah, it's just maybe we don't have a whole lot to talk about. And that's what kind of was in this issue, although I thought it had a fantastic line.
Here was the entire plot of this book. Byron's going out and getting drunk. He doesn't know anyone. He has to go home. He goes to see the girl who made him. Casanova captures him. That was the end of the issue. Now, there was stuff with her dad and her relationship with her father, and he's a good sort. And there were funny jokes about dates, like her algorithm set up a rich girl with a necrophiliac weirdo.
My favorite was like, normally I only show this to dead girls.
Because the first thing he said is like, hey, you want to see my penis? And it turned out as a penis he bought online. He whips it out of his pocket. But she had a great time with him, so the algorithm worked.
I love this book.
Go figure. Yeah, it's funny. Sounds good. It's a funny book. It's not, you know.
Let's get Walking Dead out the way.
Okay. I think No Romancer is the successor to Prez, at least for now. So I like it.
Yeah, it looks the same. It's got a different sense of humor, but...
Okay, like you said, Walking Dead. You guys didn't have very much to say about it. And I never read Walking Dead, so...
It was a double-size issue for a 150th issue anniversary. And it was a filler issue!
Yeah. I mean, it read quick, but that was largely because they decided to do lots of, like, full-page and two-page spreads that really didn't need to be. Like, in the end, when they show all the people cheering for Rick, did that really need two pages?
No.
It didn't.
Yeah, he rallied the troops after somebody tried to kill him.
Yes.
Big Wolf.
Yeah, because they said he wasn't doing enough, even though he already had a plan to do something.
Yeah, it was funny. So he gets attacked by two of his own people. One of them almost beats him half to death, but then Rip bites his throat out, which he's done before. Yeah. Rick eating people is becoming a common theme in this book.
Yeah,
Hopefully he never eats anyone who, like, is infected with zombie and doesn't know it.
Yeah.
But he killed him. The other guy they caught, but he brought him back, so he gave a speech about how, you know, we need everyone we can get to fight against us, and he announced that they're starting an army, which made everyone happy. The funny thing about that was he had already decided to start the army when he got attacked for not doing enough. I thought that was kind of funny.
Also, I'm gonna repeat this again. 16-year-old girl having sex with an 11-year-old boy. Nobody's offended, apparently.
I think you have the ages wrong.
No, I don't. I'm 100% sure I don't.
I still think you have the ages wrong.
Nope, he was 9 before the time skip. Time skip was 2 years. He's 11. Well, they've said she was 16.
Continuity error.
You want to know my reaction to it is?
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Nice. Nice.
Next book.
Our next book is, drumroll, Red Wolf. A book that I told you, if this book is just Red Wolf in modern day 616, I don't want to read this book anymore.
Here's the deal with this. I didn't want to read this at all. Like, I'm like, why are we reading this? I don't care.
You listed it off, though. That's
the
funny thing. When
you
go over next week's books, you're usually the guy that helms that, and I'm just like, okay.
Yeah, but I'm like, I really don't want to read this. But I read it, and it wasn't bad. Like, it was kind of good, actually. But it wasn't good enough that I want to continue reading it, if that makes any sense.
We read a ton of books as it is, and when something's just mediocre, it's just like, and I think even Lurl and I were discussing this off air, and this is important to the discussion. There's tons of books we don't read that we want to read, and when you have stuff like this that we're wasting time with, not that it's a bad book, but at the same time, it's like,
yeah,
there's other stuff I want to read.
I think saying mediocre is actually too strong. This is probably better than some of the books we do read. It's just, it's less noteworthy. Like, it takes place in New Mexico.
Yeah, he's in the modern world. He helps out some local cops. There's some evil land baron who's killing folks to acquire land, and he's the big bad. That's it. We still don't know who the hell brought him in here, modern time.
No, and they think he might be crazy because...
Yeah, he thinks he's in...
Yeah, he doesn't understand this modern day and is scared by trucks and...
Planes.
Other futuristic things.
Okay, next book, Black Knight.
I don't like Weird World. And
nope.
I'm really upset that all these other books we're reading that I like are going to Weird World. And Marvel said, well, it's the new Savage Land. Okay. I wouldn't like it in the old Marvel universe if, like, 5 comics ended with going to the Savage Land. Like, I wouldn't care then either. I can't find any reason to care about Weird World.
I'm saying that's their justification. They're trying to get it over. That's all it is.
Yeah, and that's fine to get it over. It's just, I immediately, like, the problem is, I'll skip ahead just to mention it. Squadron Supreme ends with them going to Weird World. I'm not interested in what's going on in Weird World. I want to know what's going on with them in the Marvel Universe because that's the interesting part. What's going on in Weird World completely detracts from the entire story they're telling. You could get this shit over, but, you know, do it for a reason. Like, somebody needs something that they could only find in Weird World. So they go to Weird World and they have an adventure and then they come back and the story continues. None of this fucking, no, we're going to pull you to Weird World and you're going to be here.
In the book by itself, apparently Black Knight, because he's on the run from Uncanny Avengers because he had killed somebody, he ended up in Weird World. He knew ahead of time they would be after him eventually. So he united the other kingdoms of Weird World to help fight them off. But the thing is, when the Uncanny Avengers got there, they're like, look, we don't want to mess with you. We just want him. They all say, okay.
Have him!
So Brother Voodoo kind of like stopped Dane Whitman, and then Cap old ass, you know, old man Cap knocked him out. A young guy. He knocked out a young guy.
Well, he's still strong for some reason.
He's the old super soldier, but he still
works out.
So now, in the next issue, they're trying to figure out what to do with him now that he's incapacitated.
They're gonna do stuff with him. All right.
Gross.
Yeah. Next book. All new X-Men. You guys have put
that either.
Yeah, you guys have put this over before, but The fact that we're lightning round, it means just a lot didn't happen.
I don't know. I find this the most enjoyable X-Men book to read.
Well, I like the end of this issue because it indicates they're going to do a road trip.
Yeah.
And road trips are buys with superheroes or in film or anything. I love road trips.
Apparently,
but this was finishing up the story with the Cyclops nerds.
Yeah, young Cyclops apparently it doesn't appear he's going to end up like dead Cyclops, who's older, who's dead apparently. He's telling these kids, the Cyclops gang, you guys are idiots, what are you doing? He was kind of smart in all this. So eventually, the rest of the young X-Men, they come and help stop the Cyclops gang. And after the issue, he ends up going they go on a road trip, essentially.
Weird World.
Might as well, right?
They're going to drive into Weird World.
I will say this. When they made the switch over from Secret Wars book to a regular book as far as Weird World is concerned, they did keep Mike Del Mundo. And I think a couple weeks back we did our awards issue, and I felt like I forgot to mention that Mike Del Mundo was amazing, but unfortunately he was stuck writing stuff like Elektra, and then towards the end he wrote Weird World, which we did read and like, but at the same time, it's like, it's something that I feel like at least Diodato did more stuff, or he wrote bigger books and he was more consistent, so. But I feel like I still want to put over Mike Del Mundo. Great.
Didn't Bagley draw this?
No, I'm talking about the mainline Weird World book. Like, they kept Humphreys is writing it now, they kept him on. I just assumed when they were going to get a new writer, they were going to go with a new artist, too. But they kept him on as well.
How we got to Weird World again with all new X-Men.
Okay, let me.
Well, because you jokingly said that all new X-Men are going to go on a road trip to Weird World.
Because all the other comic fans are wrong. Everything in Marvel is not about the Inhumans. It's about fucking Weird World. I'm telling you right now. We're going to have a big crossover about that Civil War 2. It's all going to be based around somebody who went to Weird World. And they brought back, I don't know, fantasy AIDS or something.
Fantasy
so they had to
AIDS.
Kill him. Is probably Rogue. She's always getting AIDS.
I want that as a drop now. Rogue's
I'm sick, y'all.
I'm from the South.
So wait, I did want to point something out because this happened in another book. Does anyone else notice how often an X-Men character gets put on camera to give a speech about the current state
God.
Of mutants?
Yes.
This happened in both X-Men books we read, and all I could think was, I have seen this happen fucking 8 million times, and I wasn't reading X-Men for a good 8-year period.
Remember Havoc?
Yeah, Havoc did it too. So this has happened even in recent times. X-Men, people hate you. Stop getting on cameras talking.
Uncanny, I think Uncanny X-Men had Cyclops.
It's, oh God, yeah, they do this all the time, and I get the thought behind it. It's all the people hate us, so we have to go and talk directly to all the people. But it's like, fuck, you guys do this a lot.
And you wonder why they hate you.
Heroes have problems. When they
Cardinals won in overtime.
Oh, good.
Live updates from Marvel 2K.
When they thought Moon Knight was a crazy terrorist, you didn't see him going on TV and talking about how, oh, I'm not really a terrorist. Oh, no. He never did that. Whatever. I'm just saying that's overdone.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our final lightning round book, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, which you guys did not want to read, and I kept trying to
read
it.
I read three pages of it.
I liked it. It's something to where I like that they're willing to at least go in different directions from the mainline series. It's not just like the TV show where it's just the monster of the week. They seem to be telling a consistent storyline that they started in this issue zero with Tommy the Green Ranger. You know, he's joined the team, he's joined the Power Rangers, but because Rita created him, he's seeing like all these visions, and she's in his ear, and she's telling himself like, oh, you're not good enough, eventually you're just going to wind up coming back to me and stuff like that. So at least
they do the story on the TV show, though.
I don't remember her being in his ear like this, at least to this degree.
I'm sorry.
It's a good series. I like the art. My I have a couple nitpicks of it, which mean I realize it's just a zero, but I get the feeling going forward, the problem with this book is the length. Like, it's half the book is literally just the mainline story, and then the other half is just backups. And that's cute to do, you know, once in a while. But if that this was is that what this book is going forward? I don't know if I'm going to consistently read it.
If if you continue to cover it before you start reading about it, you should play.
Nice.
Dude, I wasn't even a fan. I remember that shit. He played the fuck out that ocarina.
But like I said, I thought it's a good series. I like that they're willing to take some, you know, creative directions with it. But with that said, they don't have like a big name writer or a big name artist on it. And if they really want to go all out, they should have went the Archie approach and got a name writer and a name artist to do it.
That costs money, though. I have a question about this. You might not know. Doesn't Disney own the Power Rangers?
I think they had the license, but I don't think they actually own it.
Okay, well, I was gonna say if they have. So they, whoever owns.
Well, it's IDW, so, you know, they always do license
stuff. Well, yeah, they always do license stuff, but I was just saying, I thought Marvel, like, owned it in America, so why isn't Marvel publishing a Power Rangers book?
Yeah, well, you said Disney, but.
Well, but Disney owns Marvel, so.
I think they had the license for a while. I don't think they have it anymore.
Mm. Okay. I was just wondering.
And I felt like talking about it, at least this issue zero, because one, if anything, this may be just something that, you know, the novelty of a comic.
Wasn't this an issue one?
The issue zero. So that's where I'm like, there's a couple things I want to weigh in as far as this book, but it's not really fair because an issue zero. But with that said, you know what? It's selling really well, but it may just be one of, as far as my interest or most comic book interest readers are concerned.
You don't know it's selling well. We just read this.
Well, no, I know it's selling particularly well because the three of us actually go to comic book stores, and I know this thing is selling out everywhere because they did the gimmick of a million variant covers, or at least six different variant covers for all the Power Rangers. And of course, the Green Ranger and the Red Ranger are impossible to find.
By the way, Disney sold Power Rangers in America, the franchise, to Haim Saban and Haim Saban or whatever in 2006.
Were they the ones
Saban?
Who originally had it?
Yeah, they were the ones who, produced it or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There you go. So
they sold it to them.
So like I said, it's good. I like that they're willing to take creative directions with it, but with that said, who's to say maybe two or three issues and I'm going to care at all?
All right. We'll see.
Yes. So with that said, let's go into this week's books. Good shit, Luro.
Yeah, it's a good song.
I know. I remember when I saw that you picked a Chrono Cross song. I'm like, oh, thank you.
Keeping the gimmick up with the video game music.
Yeah, well, first we started 8-bit things, but then we decided to expand it, especially with me doing a 16-bit, and then I guess now we just opened the Pandora's box of video game music, and now we're just doing that every single week.
Yeah, but it's not like the further you get in time, the less good the music gets. Eventually, we'll just be playing songs from Grand Theft Auto, and it'll just be normal songs again.
Yeah, we're not married to this idea, but it's just kind of nice that we had this motif as of late.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go over this week's books, which are John Flood 6, Slash and Burn 3, Descender 9, Hook 3, Injection 6, All New, All Different Avengers 3, Hawkeye 3, Wolverine 4, Black Knight 3, Captain America Sam Wilson 5, Illuminati 3, Mighty Thor 3, Scarlet Witch 2, Secret Wars 9, Extraordinary X-Men 3, Squadron Supreme 3, Uncanny Avengers 4, Web Warriors 3, Death Defying Dr. Mirage Second Lives, and Ninjak number 11.
By the way, you said Black Knight number 3, and we already did that in Lightning Round.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I forgot to cross it off our regular.
We won't be talking about it again.
Yes. We won't be talking about Weird World again. Damn it!
Yeah, we will.
Well, yeah, we will.
All right, let's try to get away as far away we can from Weird World right now, at least anyway. John Flood, number 6, writer Justin Jordan, art George Coleo.
Did you say it's written by Justin Jordan, which is almost Jason Jordan, one half of the greatest tag team in the world? The Suplex Master?
What any of this has to do with this week's John Flood is beyond me, but...
His name is similar to Jason
Jordan. And just for the record, Lero's opinion does not reflect those of Comic Conversations or HalfGuard.com.
But it does affect that of people who are correct. So, this is the end of John Flood, and Aww. It ended with them leading to a sequel.
Hooray!
Well, you know, I don't know if they'll actually go through with it. But
well, no, but the status quo was put back in place at the end of the book.
Yeah. He, Flood took that one guy, he called himself Randall Tate. They took him out to the desert. I guess he's trying to figure out, cause it was a quid pro quo type thing. He's trying to figure out a way to cure himself of being dreaming all the time. You know, awake and dreaming.
He wants to sleep.
Yes.
He wants to sleep back.
Yep.
So he thought if he had him and, you know, the other guy together, the people who did it to them would come. And they did. But didn't work out the way he thought.
Yeah, the cop and, who was, you know, helping him. And Flood's assistant, they go out and they try to save him. Apparently, Men in Black and black helicopters killed the other guy who was experimented on. So now Flood is kind of like, you know, he's still gonna be awake. So they show a month later what the cop and remember that one cop and his wife were up to, and you know, he hadn't heard from Flood, and all of a sudden John Flood shows up. He's like, "Hey, we got work to do."
Aww, yep.
Which is nice. And they showed exactly what happened with his cop bodyguard. He did, in fact, murder the guy who killed his family with his bare hands. And, that's not actual bare hands. He doesn't have superpowers.
Oh, I'm disappointed.
Yeah, he wasn't holding a weapon. Just so people know.
Cause we're gonna get emails about that.
Yeah, about like, did you mean he had bare hands?
I'm confused.
No, he did not have bare hands. No, this is a good ending to it. I mean, the only resolution you can get is either he continues on, he's fixed, or he dies. And they strongly teased he was going to die. But for some reason, the people who made him didn't kill him. They killed the other guy.
Yeah.
But they left John alone. He was very upset by this. Like, he was willing to die, in fact, which is the first indication that he's not terribly happy with his life.
Nope.
He knows he's not right in the head.
In the cabeza. So,
yeah, and he just wants it to stop. But since he can't get it to stop, and he's apparently not willing to actually kill himself, he's just going to continue on with what he's doing.
Okay, that's cool. I feel like maybe if this series had more issues, they'd be willing to expand upon that. But I don't know if that's something I necessarily would want to read. So I'm going to glad we don't go there. Okay, let's go into our next book. Slash and Burn, number 3, writer C. Spencer, art by Max Dunbar.
That was another good issue. I liked it.
Yeah, I felt like it's been forever since we read this book, but now that it's actually come back, I'm like, I did like this series.
I don't think it's been forever. Maybe
it felt like forever, maybe.
I think it's a monthly, but I don't think it's like, I don't think they've taken any time off.
They may have, because I don't remember. I can't remember the last time we actually read this.
Yeah, so there's an arsonist on the loose, and all the victims are all figures from the main character Roisin's hidden past. Though the guy who was killed wasn't Pinker, but he had something on him that was like Pinker. And then so she goes to the crime scene, and the one detective who's kind of like, no, you know, kind of like been investigating stuff with her. He you know, caught her there, and then, you know, she tried to like play it off because she had a lighter, and she was stealing evidence. Apparently, one of the victims there had some necklace that one of the childhood friends that she knew from the orphanage had.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's clearly a sign. Somebody's at, you know, looking, like, trying to get her attention. So, you know, she kind of faked her way out of that with, you know, trying to make out with the guy and then, you know, starting a fight. they show some stuff from the past. Pretty disturbing shit. They killed birds with fire and...
Oh, that was messed up.
I'm thinking, is this Pinker guy going to be like the big bad? He's the guy behind everything? I don't know.
Maybe, but like I said, it's not that they, you know, set that up, but yeah, it's hard to say.
Yeah. But no, it was a good book. I like the series.
It's one of those books where I don't remember a whole lot from it, but when I remember reading it, I'm like, yeah, this is a good book. I miss this book. It felt like I've been reading forever. I get this and that Black Magic book confused now.
They're both detective. Well, no, the old
they both have female lead characters and
female lead, yeah.
And there's fire involved in some manner.
Well, there was fire involved in one issue in Black Magic.
Well, but they talk about it now.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Maybe that's how I got it confused. All right, let's move on to our next book. Descender number 9, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Dustin Nguyen.
Another good issue.
Can, Can I say that I don't love this as much as everyone else?
Really?
I like it, but I think Marvel, the three of us, likes it a lot more than the rest of us.
I mean, I don't dislike it. I think it's good. It just feels like the story is moving at a snail's pace. And I'm kind of getting over it. It's like, I get it. Tim has emotions. And that's different.
Well,
like, I understand
there is other stuff going on. They just haven't conned back to it yet. Remember there was that issue where there's like three separate people, like of antagonists going around. You know, there's spies, there's like the robot people, and then there's these other people. They haven't pulled it all together yet. That's all.
Yeah, but I also wish the story was about Tim's journey and Andy's journey. The problem with Andy is he didn't get introduced until like two issues ago. So I can, you know, forgive that, and they are doing stuff with it. But when they went to the Nish, and when they went to like their planet and showed that they're picking a new king, and oh, we're gonna go kill all the robots now, I didn't really care. Like, I don't care about them. They seem like they're just evil empire who are evil, and they look like pigs. Kind of like, and it's like, you're not as strong as the other stuff that's going on. But yeah, they took Tim to machine.
The robot resistant home base. Apparently they have what appears to be a Death Star.
Nice.
Well, they called it a moon. It's hidden inside like an asteroid field, and this is why no one could ever find it.
Yep.
So they all live there, and that's why they couldn't find it. Now, Andy has a plan wherein he found Bandit, the little robot dog, and pointed out that Bandit is tied to Tim, so Tim can always find him, but I know someone, his ex-wife, who can putz around with the insides and flip it so that we can use Bandit to find Tim.
Like a homing device.
Yeah, but I really don't see the reason to believe why if they showed up, the robots wouldn't just kill him.
Well, it doesn't matter anyways, because that one guy, there's that, but he doesn't know that they're taken prisoner by robots on a planet. He knows they're taken prisoner by robots because one of the guys who was with them, with Tim 21 and all of them, he's in that prison.
Well, they're not, and the robots aren't totally, they're not totally evil, because, like, they kept the humans alive because Tim asked them to, and, you know, The one was a little upset when he brought him up to like the bridge or whatever.
Yeah, but, he's like carbon.
Yeah, but he did listen to his kid, the other Tim, when he said like there are guests or whatever. So he ended up not killing him. So Tim is important enough to them that they will give up their hate for humans at least temporarily. And I don't know what their end goal is because
here's the thing. This robot resistance aren't the same robots that Tim sees when he's like quote unquote dead. Those evil, what do they have the name for them? They have a name for them. What are they called?
The Harvesters?
Yeah, the Harvesters. These aren't them.
These are called the Hardwire.
These are a resistant group of robots that exist separately from them, but they've created their own society to try to save other robots.
Okay.
So they do have different motivations.
Also, Driller is a killer.
Yes.
I love that. Driller is a killer. Yes.
I think this is one of those books, if it ever ends and it's collected in a trade, it'll read a lot better.
It's not, but I'm trying to explain. It's not that it's reading bad, but yeah, you're probably right, because like I said, it just feels like it moves slow, and there's not a lot of meat in the characters yet. Introducing Andy helped a lot, because having a human character who actually gives a shit, which they were previously lacking, that does add something. It helps, because the other ones are like, you know, they work for a government. You don't really get a lot into them, and you can't care a lot. They sort of finish the doctor story. He's a liar and kind of a prick. So having another decent character helps, but, you know, I got to see how much they do with him.
Okay. Let's move on to our next book. Huck number 3, writer Mark Miller, art by Raphael Albuquerque.
Weren't we going to lightning round this?
Oh, we were.
But we agreed that we don't want to, you know, totally...
We didn't want to overload it.
Exactly.
So, Huck finishes doing all the missions he wrote off to do. He saves a girl who ran away, and she was ended up being kind of a drug addicted whore, and her boyfriend tried to stop Huck, so he threw her boyfriend and three other guys on a couch out the window of the place. Most likely killing them, but they didn't indicate that. He takes a girl, brings her home, he saves a kid's dog that got trapped down a mine or something, so reverse Lassie. And he comes home, and the governor has invited him to this event. So he goes to the event. His friends in the town pointed out how sad it was that, you know, oh, he's just going to a party so people can thank him. And she remarked, you know, isn't it kind of weird, though, that he's having a party and none of his friends are invited? This is because the governor, basically, to get reelected, wants to use Huck as, like, his own personal superhero so that he can get the rub. Basically. So, and, you know, Huck is a good sort, so he'll just do whatever he can when people ask for help. So he's like, you know, posing for special pictures and stuff.
They're all mocking him.
Yeah, they were. They were making fun of it. Well, I mean, the governor kind of held back on that because one of the guys is asking, he's like, is this guy really retarded? And he's like, no, he's not retarded. He's just a little slow. And I think the thing with Huck is, as we get more into him, he's not even a little slow.
He's just naive.
Yeah, he's just such a good person that people perceive him to be kind of an idiot because how many people are, you know, that nice and that helpful? We're going to get the point where Huck gets angry at something.
Yeah, someone's going to take advantage of his good heart and nature, and that's when he's going to get mad.
Yeah, and you'll realize he's not an idiot because he'll realize they're doing it. At this point, no one has actually... Like, even the stuff at the governor's mansion, it wasn't that bad, and he went along with it, but he didn't look like he was entirely comfortable with it. Like, they were even trying to, they're like, oh, we got a meeting with the president for you, because he liked what you did there in Afghanistan, and we're going to talk about maybe you working for us. And his response was just, oh, I don't really follow politics.
And there was even a scene where they're talking about him doing all this stuff, and he's looking out the window, and he's looking at the starving cat. He's like, is anyone going to do anything about that starving cat? He's like, whatever, yeah. There's starving cats everywhere. It's not a big deal. He's like, I want to help people. And they're like, trust us, you're doing us a bigger favor.
Yeah, because they told him, you know, oh, the cats are fine. He remembered this throughout the entire party, and when he left, he ends up ordering a bunch of room service, and then he brings it out to the cats. There are two homeless guys, and they're like, hey, well, what about us? You're giving all the food to the cats. So he gives them his hotel room key and tells them to order whatever they want.
And from there, he just, you know, jumps home because he decided that this is not necessarily for him.
And he also said, hey, I got a bed at home. I don't need this bed.
Like, I don't need two beds. And he runs off home. While he's running home, jumping over cars and trains and shit, he ends up finding his brother, the guy who says he's his brother from the last issue, on top of one of the trains. He gives him a big hug, and he's like, hey, don't you want to meet Mom? And then he's like, and then the issue ends.
This book continues to deliver, but with that said, I could see why you guys wanted to bump this up to lightning round.
But it's a good book. The main character is not a Mark Miller character.
And with the exception of maybe like the people that were surrounded by the governor, there's, you know, for the most part, everyone's sort of realistically, you know, no one's overtly a jerk or anything. And it's just.
Yeah, it's okay. So it's Huck and all the people who helped to raise Huck are all good people. And they haven't all been taken advantage of yet. Even Huck really hasn't, because while him going on the news had all these people asking for help, that's what he does. He wants to help as many people as he can anyway. That's all he wants to do. So the fact that he, you know, this situation created something where he had to go off and help all these people, he's not being taken advantage of because that's what he wanted to do. So, you know, normally in a Mark Miller comic, either everyone is a giant dick or all of the giant dicks surrounding the one good person take advantage of that person. That hasn't happened yet in this book. So it's more enjoyable because of that. You like to see the good guys win.
Correct. All right, let's move on to our next book. Actually, a freaking favorite of all of ours at this point. Injection number 6, writer Warren Ellis, art by DeClaine Salvery.
Wait. I'm Fat Man. I'm not going to read this, even though I liked the last issue.
I talked to Marvel about this. I got this confused because it's a Warren Ellis book. I got this confused with Trees.
Yeah, he did tell me that. I don't know why you would get that confused with Trees. Have you stopped reading Trees?
Because I feel like Injection, it's been a while since it's come out, so I just naturally assumed this was Trees.
Well, It was on hiatus for like 2 months.
Well, yeah, and the odd thing about this was we came back from hiatus, and we have switched continents, and we are focusing on an entirely different character now. Which, to the book's benefit, because he was an interesting character, but it was weird that, like, we did kind of have a story going, and you did just kind of drop it cold.
Yeah.
So that was weird, but having said that, this story was good. I like this character.
I will say this, Luro. I am offended by your misconception.
Oh, God. The main character, what was his name?
Vivek Hedlund.
Vivek Hedlund, who is apparently, me and Marvel couldn't confirm this, but we think he is one of the six people who were
I looked it up. He joined the CCU when he was invited by Maria Kilbride to research potential futures in time. He's part of the Think Group. He has abilities that border on precognition to think of all the possible outcomes. So he's like a futurist.
So he was one of those people then?
Yes.
Okay, so when they had all the people in the room and they were trying to come up with a solution of how could we advance people, and they did the thing that made, like, myths come to life. He was one of the guys in that room, which all of those characters are the characters we follow in this book. He's got the injection. He's got the needle tattoo that they all have. Apparently everyone in this book, no matter what group they belong to, have a fucking tattoo indicating it, which, I mean, do you have to be that obvious? Do you all have to get tattoos on your neck? But whatever. It makes for a good visual. He's meeting with a guy whose wife's ghost appeared to him every night.
Yeah.
When he pulled out a picture of her, but somebody took the picture and then she stopped appearing. He had another copy of the picture though.
No, it wasn't another copy. It was a different photo. It was a photo of him.
Okay.
With him and his son and her. And
by the way, given the son's age and the young wife's age, that couldn't have been his real mom, right?
I don't think so. I think that was a trophy wife that he had.
The son was banging his wife.
Well, we don't know that.
I don't know. It was implied, though. The fact that your mind went there.
But anyway, the wife died. The son.
It's not a coincidence. Both me and Luro drew that conclusion.
No, but I mean, what do you base it on?
It's a very common trope.
Okay, so it's based on nothing but it being a trope, basically. I mean, it may very well happen. I'm just saying, you made it sound like it was indicated in the books.
No. It largely doesn't matter because they're both dead. But the wife dies, the son died in a car crash.
Like, he's going,
huh?
Like 3 days later, I think.
Yeah, and he's going to look into this. He asked his assistant. We got some background on his assistant. He was like a, I don't know, was he like a paid assassin?
He belonged to something, and the society or whoever he was working for would have killed him. But I don't know if he went against his people or what.
Well, he ended up, okay, what happened was the guy showed up, and he said, you know, I can kill you, but I kind of like what you did here. If you will be 100% loyal to me, I'll make you rich, and you'll live for a long time. And he decided, okay, if I don't go with him, I'm going to die, so I might as well go with him. So he's been working with him ever since. We're not entirely sure of everything he does. He acts as a butler. But the story does move forward here. It sounds like we're just giving a lot of background. But he asks for a ham sandwich, or he asks for a sandwich.
Yes.
His cook cuts him, you know, cuts the meat for the sandwich off a ham, gives it to him. He takes one bite into it, and he basically is like, okay, this is human meat.
How does he know that?
Yeah, how does he know that? And then we get flashback scenes of him eating human meat cooked in a variety of ways. His reasoning for, not because he enjoys it. His reasoning for this is, well, I wanted to learn everything. And this is something I had to learn. I had to learn how human tastes.
Sure, he did.
So they track it down to the deli. Because they order from the same deli all the time. This guy is rich, by the way. As he's asking the question, he gets a little vision and notices that the guy behind it has a tattoo, one of the fancy, I belong to one of these group tattoos. So he's gonna throw a knife at the cop or the agent who's with
Edlin.
She's gonna throw a knife at him, but he sees this, so he grabs the knife out of the air, like a boss.
In midair, he catches the knife.
By the blade, with just his fingers. It was awesome. And then he tells him he was very offended by his ham.
I have the quote right here. I am Headland. I am offended by your ham, sir.
And then the issue ended up. Marvel thinks we might jump to another character now. I kind of hope we... Well, I don't know if he's...
If you look at the end of the issue, they show the computer guy.
But he might come over for some reason, because all these characters know each other and are connected. And in the five issues we had, they didn't jump around a lot. They had the two different characters, but they were sort of working on the same thing. And they were only really using those two. The third guy was involved, but he was involved with both of them. But they gave background on all these characters, and they moved their story a little more forward. So I think we might actually get an ending to this story, or at least an end point, which this is not. I hope it continues, because I really like this guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy, apparently, the guy who was his butler, he was working for some gene editing enterprise corporation of some sort, some evil type shit. And apparently, when he found him, he was on a mission. I don't know if this is one of those myth things, but he mentioned Burning something.
Pitch.
Yeah, he mentioned something about the Cyclopean pig dog of Sumatra. It's not a myth. Can't we agree on that?
No, not really.
I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah.
There was that.
I figured they would go with bigger myths, but go figure.
Well, I mean, there's a million myths out there, so.
Yeah
but you figured you gotta go.
Also, this one wasn't, the issue didn't focus on it. It was just a background thing. So you don't want to blow your wad and use one of the good ones.
I guess, but maybe you could blow one off just to get people hooked.
Come on, dude, fire pigs.
Awesome. Nice. I have a name for my new band now. Fire Pigs.
Fire Pigs.
Willow, 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 wow.
It's probably taken.
Aww.
I'm looking it up right now.
I was about to say, I should investigate this, but if you got this already. All right, let's move on to our next book. All new, all different, Avengers, number 3. Writer Mark Waid, Adam Kubert is the artist.
So they did a couple interesting things in this. The big one was, Nova was getting ready to reveal that Warbringer was there because of him, and Vision interrupts him and says, oh, well, the reason he came here is because he's fought tons of Novas, so that's how he knew he was a Nova, and he basically came to get him. And then as they're leaving, Vision said, you know, he's basically telling him, like, hey, thanks for covering for me, and he's like, yeah, well, just remember you owe me a favor. And then Nova gets really scared. He's like, I think I'm being blackmailed by the Vision. But he wasn't sure. But they also formed the team at the end of the issue. Tony basically...
You know, this could have been lightning round.
It could have been. Tony basically told all of them... It was actually kind of a cute scene that made a lot of sense. Tony told all of them, listen, there's not an official Avengers team. We don't really have the funding. We don't have the base. We don't have all this stuff. But we work really well together. So if you guys want to have an Avengers, and Kamala is just raising her hand already. She's just going, yes, yes, yes.
Before he even finished the sentence, I think when he started the speech. So yes.
Yeah, and when he finally asked, they show the reaction. It's like Nova, Miss Marvel, and Miles. They're all like fucking pushing their hands as high up as they can to say yes. Vision just kind of has his hand up, and Thor just kind of, she just kind of throws it up, like, yeah, whatever. But it's a big deal to these kids, because if you're an Avenger, that means, like, you're A-list. You're a official damn hero now, and this is what Kamala has always wanted, particularly. So she's very, very excited about this, and I imagine Miles is excited, because all he was ever in was the shitty Ultimates team. With, like,
he didn't know any better, though.
He was like a team with Kitty Pryde and Cloak and Dagger and like Boom Boom or whatever.
He never joined the main league Ultimates when they still had Cap and
he might have joined it after everyone stopped reading it.
But he doesn't know people weren't reading it, is what I'm saying.
Well, yeah, but that's the Ultimates.
If this were real.
Well, that world never existed, right?
Or maybe Or maybe him in that world never existed, because if they're remaking all these realities, maybe it exists now. But because Molecule Man hooked up Miles, maybe Miles has just always been part of 616 now.
I assume that's what it was because, well, when we talk about Secret Wars, we'll get into that. Yeah, but I assume he's not aware of the Ultimate Universe.
And here's the thing, too. Why does Noble feel particularly guilty? Why is it his fault that he fought this guy?
Because it was him that guy ended up there.
Yeah, he can't. Well, that's not really true.
But he killed him.
Because he wanted something from that museum.
But how is that Nova's fault?
It was something that happened in Nova.
Nova, he somehow by fighting Nova, he realized that this thing he wanted was on Earth. Dude, he's a hero. Heroes are going to feel bad about stuff. By the way, there are several songs called Pigs on Fire, but I cannot find a band called Fire.
Ah, there's hope. All right, since we're talking Secret Wars, let's talk Secret Wars number 9, writer Jonathan Hickman, art by Usad Ribic.
Me and Marvel like this more than Fat Man.
And now, I'm the fanboy, remember that. Keep that in mind.
I read this because I actually forgot to read this.
and tell the people why you forgot to read it. You said you lined up all the books that you wanted to read, and of course one of those wasn't Secret Wars.
No, but a bunch of the books I was reading was like, all new, all different Avengers number 3. And like all these books that took place after the relaunch. This is a book that leads to the relaunch and I'm reading it 4 months in or whatever. And I forgot. It slipped my mind, but I read it and that did confirm Hickman's entire run on Avengers was a Fantastic Four story. The end of this comic was a Fantastic Four story.
You had
it
Reed
all focused around
Doom.
The Fantastic Four and villains of the Fantastic Four.
Yeah, I was saying, if it wasn't focusing on the mainline characters, you know, the Richards family and Doom, you had characters like Namor and Black Panther be bopping around, and of course, yeah. they're big Fantastic Four characters.
Yeah, so really this is all Hickman having a hard-on for the Fantastic Four, which is fine, because this is a comic that wrote the Fantastic Four out of Marvel, basically. They'll be back.
Yeah, for a while.
Yeah, but them and the Future Foundation, let's skip to that. Reed is now God, or,
yes.
Well, not really. He was acting as God using Franklin's help. He rebuilt the multiverse. He rebuilt our world. He did a few specific things to help out. He gave Doom his face back.
But then I think the internet to a degree, but also, you know, when we were talking to each other, there's a bunch of stuff that Reed could have done that he openly chose not to do. Above all which being, his best friend is still the Thing.
Yes, it was odd that he didn't fix that.
His best, like there was stuff like not bringing back Xavier. Okay, that makes sense in the sense that he's kind of, you know, divorced from it and it's like, it's something that happened, but maybe it should have happened. The thing
but,
with
okay,
the Fantastic
wait,
Four.
Wait. Okay. I can make a defense of this.
But fixing Doom's face?
Fixing Doom's face, maybe he, his thing with that was he'd been fighting Doom for so long. And Doom clearly, even while he was, at points he did do good things in Battle World. Reed agreed with him on that. He did something basically good, he just went about it the wrong way and his end point was wrong. But Doom just wanted to kill Reed. He did not want Reed to exist at all. Reed showed, I'm better than you. Because a lot of their fight, and they had a big fight in this, was basically Reed repetitively saying, I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm a better good guy than you. I'm better than you in every way. You have a problem with that, but it's true. He showed that by even though Doom did all this, he not only left Doom alive, but he fixed his face. Which Doom always blamed Reed for messing up his face. So he was fixing something he did, even if he didn't really do it.
Okay, but and something Doom, he directly did, like mess with Ben Grimm's, you know,
okay,
physical state of being.
You could also make an argument that Ben Grimm is the hero he is because he is the Thing.
Okay, but do you think he wants to be like that? The whole thing with the Fantastic Four is, Reed is wrought with guilt because he did this to Ben. Ben's life has been, you know, it's still good, but, you know, if he had the choice, he could fix him or not. And it's just odd that he chose not to make
it
normal again.
So he could transform in and out as a thing?
Yeah, that way he can have his cake and eat it too.
He could. I don't know why he didn't.
Just to be a dick. Because
he couldn't fix everything, damn it. He was rebuilding the multiverse.
He's afraid if Ben looked like a normal guy, it'd be like the Ultimates universe and Sue would hook up with Ben.
But then they decided that in the end, we're not going to be superheroes anymore. The Richards family, we're going to go travel in this new multiverse with the Future Foundation. We're going to go travel this new multiverse, and basically we're going to catalog it. We're going to be scientists. And I'm not going to be Mr. Fantastic. I'm going to be Dad.
Aww.
So they walked off to go catalog the new multiverse. Now, he did say, you know, we're not going to stop being superheroes forever. And we're going to be gone for a while. He never stated we're leaving and we're never coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But they did leave. They're definitely going to come back. They're not dead. We know that that happened. I would be interested to see what the people on 616 think happened to the Fantastic Four.
Well, we've already seen kind of, you know, I think Spider-Man and Johnny have alluded something's happened to them.
But they don't know about this. Yeah, they weren't even there for this.
Yeah, they made it sound like they were dead.
Yeah.
So maybe they faked their death in, I don't know. I'm not sure. Molly Kuman hooked up Miles Morales. He put him in 616 universe and brought his mom back to life because he gave him a cheeseburger.
Wait, yeah. I popped so big for that. So Molecule Man throughout all of Secret Wars has been going on about people giving him food because he's hungry because he was living under Doom's castle just powering Doom so he could be God. He's very hungry. The only one who gave him food, and he asked everyone, was Miles Morales. Because Miles Morales did that, Reed apparently didn't remake the Ultimate Universe, so Miles would have been shit out of luck. He brought his mom back to life, and he put him on the 616.
And the best part is...
all because he gave him a cheeseburger.
Yeah, and then we all, you know, obviously we had the big fight between Doom and Reed, and obviously you think Doom is still God, so, you know, it'd be an uneven fight, but the fact of the matter is, when Doom shows up, Molecule Man asks him, so do you have anything for me? He's like, no. He's like, oh, okay, and then he takes away his powers.
Well, no, he goes, well, you two are even then, because Reed didn't have anything for him either. So because he didn't have any food for him, they just fought it out, and they had what you would imagine a Reed-Dr. Doom fight would be, which is all based around Dr. Doom having an inferiority complex because he knows Reed is better than him at everything, and he's really pissed about it. Like
Richards!
Yeah, when he showed up in Molecule Man's little limbo area, first thing he does is scream, Richards! And then he fights him, and he's kind of whiny. It's always you! You ruin everything! And Reed was a dick to him. But
well, he made him not exist, and he took his family.
Yeah, he was very upset that Doom stole his family. And of all the things he kept, he could not keep Reed Richards. But in Doom's defense, from Doom's point of view, Reed screws up all of his plans all the time, and he's been doing it forever.
Yeah. Also, Black Panther seems to be the only one who survived the battle without being remade and knows what happened.
Well, yeah, Black Panther showed back up in Wakanda, and they made it very clear he remembers everything that happened. Black Panther used the reality gem and kind of put forward all the changes.
Yeah, he jumped back to issue one of New Avengers, but with Reed running the show, the incursion from New Avengers doesn't occur, apparently.
Yeah, well, they said in, I don't remember which comic, they mentioned the incursions, and they called it, like, the event that was almost really bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we knew the incursions never happened in the current 616.
Which raises the question, then, why is Dr. Spectrum and Squadron Supreme upset?
Because they're, okay, he recreated the multiverse, but if they existed, okay, if he didn't recreate their worlds,
uh-huh,
or if they stayed the same, like he just kept them the same,
oh, okay,
they would remember their worlds being destroyed. He didn't undo everything they did. He rebuilt a lot, but they never said he rebuilt everything. And Reed wouldn't have the knowledge to rebuild everything. He didn't know every world that they built, and they pointed out, Franklin, you know, he has the power to shape universes. Reed just kind of pushed it. Well, he literally just pushed them out.
He just flung it out there.
Yeah, and gave him a space, and then he stuck a Molecule Man in him.
Yeah.
Because there has to be a Molecule Man in every
universe, yes.
Every universe. Which also made Molecule Man less crazy, they pointed out. When he's not all together, he's not as crazy.
Surprised he didn't get a series post-Secret Wars. That would have been kind of fun.
Molecule Man?
Yeah, Molecule Man is being bat-crap crazy.
But he's not crazy anymore.
But he's eccentric.
He's a maybe, wacky. I don't know. He wasn't always portrayed as crazy. Like, when it was just the one Molecule Man we knew about.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, he was a villain for a while, and then he became, well, not a hero, he wasn't a villain anymore.
Yeah, and
he married what's-her-name, and...
That's true. And then in the original Secret Wars, he was sort of like the reluctant villain.
Yeah, so that was okay. That was okay. No, a lot of people were upset about this because they're like, it was just a Fantastic Four story. Well,
How's that a bad thing? Hickman's Fantastic Four was amazing.
It was, but I mean, it made sense that it was. Like, this ending made sense.
And they did
remove Reed. And
the Richards family and
the
Future Foundation, yeah.
Yeah, they removed the Richards family from continuity for the time being at least, so, you know.
And if I say like I didn't like this book, I just expect it more when you're talking about this is, he's been telling this story for 3 years and you expect something as epic as his conclusion to Fantastic Four.
No, you had a really good fight, you had heroes put over strong, you had new focus for Reed, you had the rebirth of the multiverse, and they actually gave two entire pages just to Miles Morales being in the 616, which in a normal size comic, that's pretty impressive. So you had the big fight, you had the resolution, you had new directions. It was an effective end to a crossover.
And I will say this, now that you bring up crossovers, this blows everything they've done prior to Infinity away. That's, you know, or post-Infinity, it blows Axis away. It blows,
it blows
Original Sin away. So it's, you know, it's one of these things where, yeah, it's easy to say.
But it had bigger stakes.
Yeah, and it's easy for me to say it wasn't as good as Fantastic Four, but when you put it in the context of, well, look at all these other events that were supposed to be big deals from, you know, pretty good writers, and it kind of floundered, so. Alright, since we talked Squadron Supreme, let's bring it up now. Squadron Supreme number 3. Writer James Robinson, art by Leonard Clark.
I was actually disappointed in part of this.
I liked it, but it ended abruptly, and then what they ended abruptly with was...
Weird World.
A Weird World tie-in. It's like,
my problem wasn't that. My problem was they indicated they were losing to the Uncanny Avengers.
Well, it was only really Nighthawk.
Yeah, and they were losing to... No, because they were all there by then. And they were losing to the Uncanny Avengers because the original Human Torch threatened to give them all cancer.
Fire cancer.
Which was hilarious, given
I didn't know he had that power. That he
neither
had,
did I. Well, he has
radioactive fire.
Yeah, he was like, hey, not only can I make fire, I can make the fire radioactive. And it might not kill you, Hyperion, but how about the rest of you guys like dying from cancer? And it's like, you're criticizing these people for murdering people. And you're threatening to give them cancer!
But in the sense that he was willing... The thing with Squadron Supreme is they're preemptive, and Johnny Storm was willing to say, if you try to attack us, we will kill you.
But they're not always preemptive, because
That's not Johnny Storm. That's Jim Hammond.
That was Jim Hammond. Oh, okay, my mistake. Other one. Now, wait, though. They're not always preemptive, though. They were killing Namor for what he had done already.
Mm.
That was reactionary. So even that doesn't clash. This was a character acting like a hypocritical douche.
By the way, Johnny Storm was in this issue too.
Yeah, he was in the issue too.
Oh, okay. I wasn't just imagining that. Okay.
Okay. What happened was Jim Hammond works for S.H.I.E.L.D. He's not on the Avengers, and S.H.I.E.L.D. showed up at the end like a giant army of S.H.I.E.L.D. to stop the Squadron Supreme. But before that, they did indicate they were kind of losing to the Uncanny Avengers, which is fucking ridiculous. Although I did like, Nighthawk is pretty much Midnighter. he's not Batman. He's much more Midnighter. He's the same character because he's looking at all the Uncanny Avengers and it's like the little character card introductions, but he's basically discussing how quickly he needs to take them out and what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
it was a Midnighter move is what it was, and he kind of looks like Midnighter, so that was fine. But I thought that was neat how he did that. But he also decided, okay, I'm not actually going to be able to beat all these guys by myself, so he hits his little buzzer and calls the rest of them, and like Hyperion is hanging out looking at trucks to decide whether or not he needs to become a trucker.
Which is still sounds like an amazing story. I mean, I can kind of see why they're doing that in the sense that he is going to have his own solo title, so they got to kind of get that ready.
I don't think he's going to be a trucker.
It'd be great if he was. I'd read that in a heartbeat, Hyperion being a trucker, trucking across America.
Now, the thing is, when I complain about how they kind of got dropped out, and they really shouldn't be because they have to be presented as being more powerful than the other teams for this to work. They got jobbed out so that they could be teleported away and go to Weird World.
Yeah, they got that Thundra teleported them to Weird World.
And Thundra, was she in the Squadron Supreme?
No, I don't think she was. She just showed up, which I thought was odd. Maybe she was in the original.
Why do I know that character?
She's in the other Weird World book, isn't she? She's in other stuff too, isn't she? Like,
she's a Fantastic Four character.
Yeah, I think
from like another dimension or something. So, not from Weird World, but it makes sense.
Yeah, a Fantastic Four villain or anti. She's an anti-hero.
Yeah, she came to get the Squadron Supreme. Like her and her son, I guess, were watching them, and they pulled them out and teleported them to Weird World so that they could help there, we assume.
Mm-hmm. Okay, since we're talking all books that have to do something with the Weird World, let's talk Uncanny Avengers number 4, writer Jerry Duggan, art by Ryan Stegman.
I thought this was a pretty good issue, actually.
Yeah, this book has been improving.
From the whole of the first issue.
So, Synapse, our Inhuman member of the team, she is the granddaughter of the villain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was actually revealed in the last issue, I think.
Yeah, and she was going to kill said villain, but Cable shows up and he's like, no, you can't do it because that'll ruin everything. That was bullshit. It wouldn't have ruined everything. It was just Cable didn't want her to kill his granddad, so Cable killed him.
Also, he came up with a – I don't know if he was bullshitting her or what, but he said that in the future – that the disease that he was talking about didn't affect Inhuman, but in the future they made it so the disease killed Inhumans, and then he shot Synapse.
Yeah, he
was like, I don't care if I die. He's like, oh, what about her?
Yeah.
I don't know if that was funny for Marvel.
But he didn't kill her.
No.
So.
I think he shot her with that disease or something that it was good.
Yeah, but they had already taken the anti toxin or whatever you call it. So he had already taken that to be mass produced, and in a clever use of powers, they had Quicksilver run around and shoot up everybody who was infected with it at super speed. So, giving Quicksilver something to do.
Yeah. So he basically tricked her into thinking that. Because, you know, he got rid of all the stuff that was going on, and he backed down because he didn't want her to die, so, but yeah.
Now, that villain is not dead.
No.
He kind of fell apart into little bugs. But he apparently will come back. But, yeah. You know, his original plan of, I'm going to infect everyone with this disease will no longer work because they can cure it.
Yeah. Also, Cable decided to stay with the Unity Squad. Apparently, their secret mission is to stop Red Skull and retrieve Xavier's brain.
Which
gives them something to do. It's a direction.
Yeah, and I guess Red Skull still has Xavier's brain. Still all right.
Yeah. And then we had a second reveal in this book. Pym. Hank Pym is in space using
all. Oh, that was an awesome reveal. And
maybe a heel.
Me and Marvel are split on this. I'm of the opinion that he's just the same old Hank Pym, but he has this Ultron suit.
He was wearing Ultron armor.
That's what I said. What do you mean we're split? That's exactly what I said.
No, I'm in the sense that you think he's a heel and I think he's a
No, I never face. Said he was a heel. I said what?
No, his... I said that.
Oh, okay. Then you and me, Laura, are split.
Well, only because he was wearing Ultron armor.
Yeah, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's evil. He seemed friendly enough to those people that picked him up.
I think it may lead to Vision heel turn because of stuff with Ultron.
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yes, we shall see. But if it goes one way or another, you better believe Marvel's going to drive that into the ground. That he was right. All right, let's move on to our next book. All New Hawkeye number 3, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Raymond K. Perez.
I've been down on this because of the future stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty go away he has of late.
But in this issue, they mixed up the future stuff with a lot of present day stuff, and I realized I really like the present day stuff. Hmm. And this issue put a big capper on that future stuff and said we're not going to see it anymore.
Good.
And explained why we were seeing it.
And if anything, it brought back the one storyline I did like from this series. The stuff with, you know, when they were growing up in the circus and, you know, his brother. So I like that they're at least calling back that stuff, because that stuff was good.
The most important thing they took out of this was Clint Hawkeye and Kate Bishop Hawkeye. They need each other. They're not primarily. Clint needs Kate.
Yeah, like, and I like how his brother brings up the facts. Like, you need this girl, and it's good that you haven't ruined it with a romantic relationship because you desperately need her as an anchor in your life.
Yeah, he said you've got a woman who can help you, but you're not trying to sleep with her, and you've never had that before. And it's really, really good for you to have that. You need to keep her around, and he chose to, which means the future he saw will now not happen, or that we saw. I guess they didn't see it because he's staying with her. So that was a good.
And he decided at the end that they're going to save the kids.
Yes, against S.H.I.E.L.D.'s wishes.
I like how his brother he got rich and retired, and he got fat and retired.
Well, he got rich. He stole Hawkeye's money.
Yeah, because wasn't he part of the Dark Avengers?
Was it him or was it Bullseye who was Hawkeye?
It was Bullseye.
But wasn't Barney like involved in other stuff too? Like,
he was. We looked this up once before.
You guys would be better at that stuff than me, because I wouldn't even know where to look.
Barney Barton.
How did Barney Barton get rich? I'm going to put that into Google.
Well, no, they said how he got rich. He stole...
Yeah, he was Hawkeye for a while.
Yeah, he stole Hawkeye's money.
Yeah, he was Hawkeye for a while.
Yeah. Okay, he was Trickshot.
Okay.
And Trickshot was... a villain for a period. Yeah.
Barney's his nickname. He's Charles Barney Barton.
He was in the Dark Avengers.
Okay. Okay, let's not bog down the entire podcast. We're trying to look.
Okay, but anyway, he stole Hawkeye's money, but then he retired, got fat, found a wife, had some kids, and he bought an island with the money. So he lives on the island now and is very happy and wants his brother to make right.
And that's pretty much the end of this issue. Like I said, I like that they're going in a better direction now. They finally put a cap on all that future stuff, which I thought was go away heat. So hopefully this book will pick up again.
I already did with this issue.
Wow. No, they righted the ship. I wouldn't say it's good.
I like this issue. So.
They ended the storyline, and there's no reason to think, since the book was good before they start. The future stuff is what brought this book down, and the future stuff is over.
Okay. All right, let's move on to our next book. All New Wolverine number 4, writer Tom Taylor, art by David Lopez. Now, Laura, you and I usually read this. Did you read this week?
What? Read what?
Wolverine.
Oh, yes. They ended the storyline, didn't they?
Yeah, well, at least for a while. They just, you know, obviously, I guess, I don't know, do I call her X-23 or just call her Wolverine?
No, just call her Wolverine. No.
Okay, Wolverine didn't know what to do with her clones, so she, of all people, she sucked advice from Doctor Strange, who's, you know, he was able to kind of tell with his eye of Agamotto what kind of personalities they were, and he said more or less they were, you know, worth redeeming, but he's like...
No, that's not what he said. What he said was he looked at all of them, and he said, okay, one of them is outright evil. One of them is not a good person. The other one's all right.
But she's all, yeah, and, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, right?
Yeah, but then she also said, you know, well, look at me, what do you see? And he looks at X-23 and he sees that she was an assassin, she was all angry, she was a whore. He sees all the bad things she did, and he's like, Jesus Christ, well, if you can go through all that and be all right, I guess there is hope for him. So he was basically saying, you know, Strange was reading their past experiences and how that turned them into what they are, ignoring the fact that you can go through horrible things and still end up a good person.
I thought it was weird and kind of creepy that Strange kept referring to Wolverine. When I say Wolverine, I mean Logan as her father.
They always do that.
That's creepy, dude.
Yeah, but they've always done that. They've always referred to him as her father.
Oh, okay. Even though it's her female clone, which a little creepy.
Yeah, dude. But, I mean, you know, she came from him.
But not willingly or not through conventional means.
Well, no baby comes from their parents willingly.
Oh.
Well, they don't. It's not like kids pick who their parents are.
Oh, okay. That's, I thought you
meant... he was the closest thing she had to a father, so they say your father. And he did train her a bit.
Yeah, but still, it's a little misleading.
Whatever. Don't get bogged down on it.
But yeah, I know. I'm just bringing it up. And
they did put over that the younger looking one is completely different from the other Wolverines. She's not a hardcore killer. She acts like a little kid.
Yeah, and this book ended up with, obviously, while Wolverine was talking to Doctor Strange, one of the Wolverines was eyeing Doctor Strange's cabinets, and she swore that thing's winking at me, and I told
and
the dresser.
It doesn't have eyes.
Yeah. She saw, if it winks at me again, I swear to God, I'll shoot it. And that's what she did. And by doing that, she let out some demon, and the issue ends with all the Wolverines finding this demon that was let out by Doctor Strange's, I guess, his closet, so.
Well, no, it didn't end with that. They fought that in the middle of the issue.
Oh, I thought that's how it ended.
No. It ended with them in the hospital.
Oh, okay.
Doctor Strange had to do brain surgery on one of them, or he was going to. Found out he couldn't. And basically said, listen, she's going to die. I can't do anything. It's too, which is bullshit. But he's like, oh, it's too much for medicine. It's too much for my magic. Which, fuck you, Doctor Strange.
At least it's sort of consistent with what they're doing with his mainline series in the sense that he can only do so much magic now. Or maybe there's something wrong with magic, so.
Never stop punching, fat man. If he could have saved her, he would have. If he was like he was in his book.
Well, she's just a clone. You could just make another clone, right?
No, it's a good issue, though. The only thing is it ends now, and, like, they can go anywhere. It's a Wolverine comic. I don't know what the fuck they're going to do.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to
something else.
Yeah. Let's move on to our next book, Captain America, Sam Wilson, writer Nick Spencer, art by Paul Redondo.
Diamondback did betray Sam Wilson, but she did it because she needed money for Constrictor, who was her boyfriend who got sick, and Obamacare didn't cover
it. That's a mouthful.
They didn't actually come right out and say that.
They alluded to it, though.
They played up Viper as the most evil capitalist on Earth.
Yes.
It's very cartoonish.
All he was missing was the mustache.
Misty Knight could not save Falcon, but that's okay because could not save Captain America, but that's okay because the new Falcon saved him.
Oh,
because he was in the hospital being held there by D-Man.
Was this the first issue that they established that the kid that Captain America rescued had these wings?
No.
Oh, no, okay. No, in the first issue we saw him, when he was pulling him out, he had the weird eyes and the big wings.
Ah, okay.
Well, apparently he has healing powers.
Yeah, he has healing powers because they had him, like, restrained, and he busted out of the restraints, but he said, I'm going to have to break some bones. And
oh, and the reason why he has healing powers is because he was, remember when he was mixed in with, what's his name, Red Wing, Vampire Falcon.
Yep.
So, yeah, so he regenerates.
He could fly. He has claws. So it didn't look like he had claws, but he has weird hands.
Yeah.
And weird eyes so he could see better, and he could talk to birds, and he's, you know, he could fly fast. But he flies off to save Cap, but that doesn't really work out that well because he was going too fast. He ended up crashing into some scaffolding, and then when they hit the ground, there was some humor there. The entire serpent acquisitions or whatever they're called now, they were all there ready to fight, ready to kill Cap.
Mm-hmm.
So that's no good.
But like, yeah, I don't know. You guys were kind of down the last issue. How do you guys feel on this issue now?
He's not Captain America.
He's still a werewolf.
That's my biggest problem.
Yeah, he's still a werewolf. That joke's, you know, it's run its course. I don't know why they keep doing it.
Book is selling less than the other Captain America book.
Yes, it's not working. Like, you gave us a new Cap. You're not putting him over like he's the real Cap.
And here's the thing. It's not like we're down it for no reason.
Miles wasn't even going to call him Captain America. He was just going to call him Cap. And then realized his mistake at the last minute. I had to correct it. Because he's not putting off Captain America aura. And this, I imagine Captain America, he has like an orange aura.
Wow.
You can see it.
Did a lot of acid, did we?
No, you can see it. It's just around him, and it tells you to respect him. Sam Wilson does not have that.
Marvel, you're a big Cap, Mark. Does he have this orange aura around him, Marvel?
Cap definitely has an aura of him being an upstanding person that you can't help but...
Is it orange, though?
I don't know what color.
Okay, it doesn't have to be orange. I just picked orange because that's the way they described Rick James in the Chappelle show. Said he had an orange aura. I could see it. No, Cap, what Marvel's saying is correct. Cap has an aura of... what? Wait.
Yeah, I believe
peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Jesus, yes, I'll make you peanut butter and jelly sandwich. no, but Falcon does not put. And yes, I'm calling him Falcon. He does not put off this aura. He does not feel larger than life. He feels like a third string superhero, which is what he is, wearing some version of a Captain America costume. And Nick Spencer has done nothing to change this. I don't know what you can do. I don't want to say make it less funny because that's his gimmick, and other characters can come off the way they're supposed to while being funny.
This book had a great premise from the first couple of issues where it was just he's going to be his own version of Cap. He's still going to be, you know, the Captain America, but he's just going to be a little bit different. But yeah, in the sense that now it's become just a joke. No one takes him seriously.
He's a werewolf.
Obviously, I think part of the conclusion, what he's trying to go for, is that eventually he's going to grow into the role. But we already kind of see that this is not built to last.
Yeah, and it's selling less and less every month. So even if he ever grows into the role, less and less people are going to see it. It's this book feels like they're biding time until Steve comes back. Which will absolutely kill Sam Wilson as a character.
Because it's like, what can you do now with Falcon? You already have his replacement.
He could go back to being his sidekick, I guess.
He'll be Lex Luger in the WWF after he failed to get over when they were building him for the championship. And nobody could ever take him seriously in that company again. And he's gonna end up tag teaming with America Chavez or something.
I'm sure our non-pro wrestling fans are, they understand that analogy.
Dude, you listen to the show, you gotta understand some pro graps, alright?
That's true, it was completely loaded in the intro, so I kinda see where you're coming from.
That's a given.
Yeah, it's a given.
I'm saying he ain't getting over. He's getting less over month to month.
Yeah, well, but at the same time, you look at all the stuff they're doing, at least for, you know, the next event they're going to do, and Civil War 2, he's obviously going to be all over.
Maybe he'll get over there.
I don't think he'll get over, but that's going to be the time we're going to have to put up with him not being over until we get Steve back.
When is that 75th anniversary ABC special?
I believe that's February, Marvel.
That was this month.
Let's look this up. Captain America's 75th anniversary.
When is Captain America's 75th anniversary?
It's coming pretty soon, so I don't think there's time to actually, you know, give us back our regular...
It's a one-hour special, and it airs January 19th.
Oh, okay, so what?
3 days.
Okay.
Yeah, and I can't wait for them to talk a lot about, the new Cap and how he's a werewolf.
Actually, technically, by the time everybody else listens to this,
on the show itself, they're also going to unveil a
inside every business.
Whoa, what's that?
The pop-up. They're also going to unveil an exclusive announcement from Marvel Comics concerning Captain America.
Apparently, yes, Steve Rogers is coming back.
Yeah, they're going to do a lot of special stuff for him for his 75th anniversary because that's this year. So,
and 75th anniversary of Steve Rogers, not Falcon.
But it's not like Steve Rogers is not anywhere. He's just old and leading the Uncanny team. The Unity team, as it were.
And depending on who draws him, he's either still a fit old man or a decrepit old man.
Which I find odd. It's like the whole reason why he had stepped down from being Captain America is because he was the old man who couldn't fight anymore.
I think we're going to see a lot of him being a fit old man since it's now been established. He's running around punching dudes all the time.
Knocking dudes like Black Knight out who are fit and well in their prime.
Yeah, I'm just... I want to say again, this isn't a bad book. It's just I'm so annoyed that he's not doing more to make him worthy of the Captain America name.
Yeah. All right. Let's have a pin on this discussion and never bring it up. I mean, obviously, are we going to keep reading this book? That's another question I'd like to ask.
I'll still read it. I'll still read it.
I'm going to keep reading it because if they bring Steve back, it's going to be in this book. Well, no, it'll get relaunched.
Okay. Listen, let's not talk about this meme again the next time we read it then.
Next book.
We'll just defer to our other rants. All right. Next book, Illuminati Issue 3, writer Joshua Williamson, art by Sean Crystal.
They all quit Hood's team. Because Hood's kind of a jackass, and then they all rejoined Hood's team.
And then they ran into Thor.
For different reasons.
I stopped reading this book, so I didn't read it.
Yeah,
well, it wasn't bad.
Yeah, it was a good book, but with that said, we probably, like I said, this is going to be
we should have lightning round this
as well.
Yeah, because that's what happened. They all broke off from his team, and then they all went back to his team. For some of them, because they couldn't really think of anything better to do. Hood gave this speech where he said, listen, I'm a bad guy. I can't be a good guy. I don't have it in me to be a good guy. So I have to be a bad guy. But if I'm going to be a bad guy and they're going to, you know, the superheroes are going to bust down my door and arrest me, I want them to bust down the door of a mansion, not a trailer.
which is an odd take on it, but it's kind of good. At least he has aspirations.
But his motivating force is to get as much money as possible.
By the way, issue 2 of this series, 23,000 sold.
Yeah, this book was never going to sell.
You look at the name and you look at the people on the team, this was never going to sell well, Marvel.
Huck is just below it.
Well, that's got Mark Miller.
Yeah, and that's an Image book. It doesn't matter. It's freaking...
Well, yeah, but I can go pull out other books and point out weird situations like that happening that have higher level characters than this book. So
shoot, well, Superior Foes is, you know, in many ways...
That was like, what, 15,000 sold?
Yeah, that's sold even less than this. I like that book.
Alright, and the book ends with them having to fight Thor, which leads into our next book, Mighty Thor number 3, writer Jason Aaron, art by Russell Daterman.
A lot of talking between Loki and Thor. They fight.
Well, they had to establish the new relationship.
Correct. Yes.
Biggest fight is between Thor and Lady Loki. The fight is interrupted when Loki tries to kill them both, along with a light elf city, with hundreds of Roxxon bombs.
Which I thought was weird. You know, you're obviously seeing these characters in Asgard, and just you see these Roxxon bombers dropping these wacky bombs.
Yeah, and then also, Thor uses a like lightning to like pull the bombs into the atmosphere and save everyone. But apparently she turns back into Jane Foster. And I don't know, because she's near death pretty much.
Was this the book where we looked up science?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a line in this about how the heat on the surface of the sun is like 6,000 kelvins. And then she's like, lightning is 6 times that. And I questioned Marvel. I'm like, that can't be legit, is it? We looked it up, and luckily the Discovery Channel answered this exact question. That is factual.
Huh.
Lightning is 6 times hotter than the surface of the sun. However, they pointed out the atmosphere of the sun and just below the surface is like 52 million kelvins. So it's only the surface of the sun, which is the least warm part.
Huh. And there's your science lesson of the day, kids.
Yeah, but what she was saying was technically correct.
Yeah, and also at the end we cut to Odin where it looks like he's about to execute his wife.
Oh?
Do you think it's really Odin?
I don't know.
Something's got to be up with Odin because we've seen stuff like this happen with Thor getting his hammer taken, and Odin didn't completely lose his mind over it.
He's been acting like a dick for a while, so I don't know.
Yeah, like I think Odin has always been a little bit of a harsh guy, but he's outright being a villain. Like, he's gonna kill his wife. That's not something a good guy does.
It's gotta be something with his brother doing something, right?
Or Or Malekith, because he's all magic-y and is trying to destroy the or take over the Nine Realms.
The Ten Realms.
Yes.
Yeah, you have to update it for 20, what was it, from 2014?
Yeah, it's like 9 planets is now 8 planets.
But yeah, I like this book, but, you know, I get the feeling we're going to be getting this story for quite a while. Like, we've up to this point.
Well, yeah, it's probably going to end with what? Odinson's going to die, is the rumor, by the way.
Okay. Speaking of people that are magic-y, Scarlet Witch number 2, writer James Robinson, art by Marco Rudy.
Man, this comic rebounded.
From a complete 180 from one issue to the next.
But let me say, my view on this was colored due to the fact it had the best art ever.
Yeah, we're going to put over Marco Rudy. We've read his stuff before in, like, that Doctor Strange annual. And
this comic was beautiful to look at.
Yeah. Marco Rudy does some good stuff.
Not only with just the art itself, but in the way he presented the art.
And I will say this. Remember when we had this discussion when we were reading Winter Soldier? And you guys said the reason why we couldn't keep up with the story was because of the art. And I pointed out in that Doctor Strange annual, I had no problems following the story. And I told you, it's the writer. And I guarantee you when we read something else that he does the art for, it won't be a problem following the story.
Is he going to be the regular artist from now on, though?
I don't know. I'm looking at this comic list. It's not giving me that. Let's see if I can find it on the Marvel site while you guys quickly do the recap of it.
Anyways, Scarlet Witch is on Santorini. Apparently, the island is being terrorized by a Minotaur who's killing anybody and everyone, including their own Captain America, Captain Grease.
Captain Grease.
Yeah.
And fitting that he should be dead. He'd be killed in the process.
We come to find out that it's not actually the Minotaur, even though, you know, there's a Minotaur in Thor, the other bad guy.
Yeah, the president of Roxxon.
I thought for a second it was him, but apparently this is a guy named Manbulb. He's a jobber villain. And apparently the Emerald Warlock, I guess, turned him this way. Apparently he's stealing people's magic, and apparently he stole the Greek goddess. What was her name in this issue?
Hecate,
or whatever. Yeah, stole her power, I guess, at the end. At least I think that's what it would happen. What else happened? Scarlet Witch is experiencing the same shit as Doctor Strange, except a little different. Apparently, her soul is dying, and even though she looks young to everyone else, she's every time she's using magic, she's slowly leading to her.
The fact that it's killing her soul, and even though physically she's just fine, so I thought that was kind of odd.
And they are studiously avoiding the fact that she was once a mutant and is not anymore, because she talks a lot about, like, you know, when I was young and I was learning about magic, and, well, there's no mention of mutant shit.
Well, she was younger when she got with, what's her name, Agatha Harkness.
Yeah, but I'm saying they're putting all the focus on the magic and, you know, her fighting magical villains and talking to gods. Like, this is very different for her character.
By the way, Manbulb committed suicide.
Well, by the way.
Nobody's gonna miss him.
Who the hell's Manbulb? I can't remember.
I just hope for this book, the script was better than the first issue. But I really hope they could somehow keep this artist. Because I would read this fucking book if, you know, Rob Liefeld was writing it.
So
it looks that good.
So I assume you won't be reading in the future, because I have Scarlet Witch issue 3 pulled up right here from Marvel.com, which, you know, may not necessarily always get it right. But right here, I'm looking at issue 3. You have The Penciler by Stephen Dillon. So.
Oh, well, I like Steve Dillon.
Why are they getting a different artist every issue? It just seems that way.
Yeah, that's weird for a new series. You know what? I'll read it because Steve, maybe it'll be a funny issue.
It'll be a funny issue.
He drew Preacher.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
wait, that was Steve Dillon. Maybe Stephen Dillon is a different guy.
No, it's Steve Dillon. I read that wrong. My mistake.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, it'll look like Preacher then. Sorry.
Okay.
They went into the whole thing about magic has a cost and all that again. So again, they're leading to that crossover with Doctor Strange and Hercules, because
yeah, they mentioned Hercules by name in this book.
Consistent in the new Marvel universe.
Yeah, and Hercules is name dropped quite a bit here. I mean, yeah, they're in a Greek island, but still, they're like, oh, how is he? He's like, yeah, he's not so bad anymore.
better issue, and it feels like it's part of something bigger.
And I like it because originally I wasn't going to read this. I said after the first issue, me and Marvel were going to drop it. You said you were going to keep reading this. I saw something, like I saw a couple of preview pictures. So I was like, oh, maybe I should pick this up. And Lero said, read it. I've seen the artist. And I think you, at this point, have you actually read it or no?
Have I read it?
I think when you told us to you recommended that we read Scarlet Witch.
That was last week when we were doing next week's book.
No, so but
he's talking about recently. I said it last night or the night before, right after I read it.
Yeah.
Oh,
because okay. I said you got to see the art. The story's good too.
Yeah. So this is a book that I didn't want to read, and I almost didn't read it, but I'm glad he did because for right now I can tell you right now, with, among other books, it's contender for book of the week.
I read it because I knew it was, I've heard that it's going to lead to a big crossover, so I stuck with it, so.
All right, let's move on to our next book. Extraordinary X-Men number 5, writer Jeff Lemire, art by Humberto Ramos.
So this book ended with Storm giving a big speech about the mutant's new place in the world, in like Central Park or some, fuck, I'm so tired of that.
Cause you know, you can have an X-Men book where that happens.
However, it did end with S.H.I.E.L.D. working with the X-Men to save the mutants. So it had a good turnout. They didn't say people hate, and she also, you know, they got to point out that the mutants aren't the ones getting you sick. The mutants are getting sick, but they're not spreading it to humans.
Correct.
And she even went as far as to point out, we'll work with humans. We want to say mutants, but we're going to work with humans. We're going to help humans. We're going to work with inhumans, and we're going to save inhumans. We don't care. We're good people.
Okay.
And they teasing Xavier stuff again. Cause remember when that one issue when she was talking to Xavier?
I think Storm is like hallucinating.
Maybe.
Or it's like mentally she's channeling him. Because
yeah, but it's no coincidence Marvel's teasing bringing back somebody, and then we're talking about an Uncanny Avengers about them going after Red Skull trying to get Xavier's Bane brain.
Yeah, but
back.
She even said to me, my X-Men, like she's the leader. And she's, you know, Xavier is the one she knew as the leader. So she's just, it could be as simple as she's doing the thing she thinks Xavier would have done.
Yes.
Which, you know, the last couple of years of Xavier's life, he was a giant dick to everyone. And she's not doing that, but.
That's good. All right, let's move on to our, so I'm stalling here until I pull it up. War Warriors number 3. Writer Mike Costa, art by David Baldwin.
The Electros go to Loom World. They fight Anya and Karn. Gwen Stacy confronts the big bad Electro who's in space by... she tried to punch him. He's like, oh, you can't defeat me. I'm blah, 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 and this and that. He's like, oh, what about sending you out into space or something?
Yeah, okay, so what he says was... they basically revealed that the Electros realized they weren't that smart. So... every time they pulled 10 Electros, one of them would join in what they were calling the battery, which is basically a giant collection of Electros.
Like the it's like the Kree's. Yeah,
it was based on the Kree's hive mind, the Supreme Intelligence.
Yeah,
because they went to a world where they found the Supreme Intelligence. He was collecting all the Dr. Octopuses so that they could basically make him. Their own version of Supreme Intelligence. So every 10 Electros or every 9 Electros they get, then the 10th one goes into the pool. So it's got the combined intelligence, knowledge, and power of however many Electros. Which doesn't sound that impressive because a lot of the Electros have been stupid. But, you know, if there's that many of them, they're going to be kind of smart.
Yeah, there's
but
a couple of them that are, in fact, pretty smart. So
he's going on to Gwen Stacy at a space base about how, like, oh, they even built me this bulletproof containment cell. And she's like, oh, that's bulletproof? She's like, well, what about this glass over here into space? And then she breaks it. So he goes flying out. Did they end up in Weird World?
No.
Like they did, but
that happened.
They hit out in the world with Uncle Ben, Spider-Man.
Oh, that's right.
Oh yeah, she brought Electro to the world where May lives. But the Uncle Ben from that one world who they had during Spider-Verse, who they had to convince to leave his dead world and come with them, he ends up living with May. And they show up and Electro, like, you know, grabs him in a chin lock and he's like, aha, I'm gonna get out now, but Uncle Ben was Spider-Man of his world, so he does a flippy-do and then punches him.
Yeah, the in Loom World, the rest of the Web Warriors, they they fought the Electros, but then they escaped to steampunk world because there's no electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So they're there right now.
Which also makes sense why they were doing those backups with her.
Well, that they just established, you know, several of these characters, but yeah, they've since then gone back to it. And wasn't Spider-Man Noir getting on that Spider-Man or that Spider-Woman, I should say, in this instance?
There was some exchange. I can't remember what it was.
Okay, let's move on to our next book, Doctor Mirage, Second Lives, Number 2, writer Jen Van Meter, art by Roberto De La Torre. This is a book that. In the first issue, I was confused, and I continue to be confused with this story.
Well, it's only 4 issues. So.
Okay, good. I need you guys to explain what exactly is going on in this book.
To another collector of paranormal shit to find the other spell that they need. But apparently it's an old enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV...
We didn't know about because we didn't read the last series.
Yeah. Apparently there's the people that produce the show, they want to stand in for the guy who's dead,
which they mentioned in the last issue and she didn't want. So they got no, he's my husband.
Yeah, so they got some other guy and introduced her. I don't know, this book is kind of like whatever. Maybe it's because I haven't read any of the other books. I don't know.
I do feel like I'm missing a lot.
Yes, me too.
Okay. Is that okay? Let's move on to our next book, Ninjak number 11, writer Matt Kint, art by Doug. Let's see if I can pronounce this. Braith White.
It was Shadow Man, kind of.
Yeah.
And a problem with this book is I'm more interested in Shadow Man than I am in Ninjak. So that's kind of a problem for me. But
yeah, this doesn't read like a Ninjak book. Not that it's a bad thing.
Well,
I'm just like
because he's in Ghost World.
Dead Side is called it.
Yeah. He's in the Dead Side dealing with magic shit and apparently fighting Shadow Man, who might have been possessed by evil. Yeah, they call him the Magpie.
Yeah.
Which is way less cool than Shadow Man. although his sidekick there, she's like, oh, hey, Shadow Man, what's going on? He's like, Shadow Man is gone. I'm blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but, they're in the Dead Side. They're trying to figure out how to survive. Apparently, they're on top of some Krakoa-looking thing.
It's a primordial spirit thing, and all of them are supposed to be dead, but this one had a sword jabbed into its head, but it wasn't actually dead. So they pulled the sword out, which made it thankful to them, and then went to attack the big city there. Which is where Shadow Man is doing bad things. He's capturing a bunch of people, and he said he needed one more to do something. We don't know what.
Yeah, we don't know what.
Very good art in this book, though. So all this weird stuff, it was nice to look at, but kind of hard to tell what's going on. And I even read the backup. And I still wasn't sure what was going on.
Yeah.
Which is a problem with the two Valiant books we read this week. Except Ninjak we've actually been reading.
Yeah.
So I should have a better idea of exactly what's going on.
There was a Shadow Man book.
Yeah, it was one of the early ones, but he wasn't a bad guy in it.
Yeah, so maybe we're missing something else.
Or maybe he's not really bad, and he's just doing stuff for a reason he hasn't chosen to. He looks different. I don't know. I think Shadow Man is possessed, and he would be the one who hangs out in the Dead Side. So they're dealing with him, because he's the only character who's a big deal who lives there, I think is what's going on. I can't remember why Ninjak had to go here.
Yeah, neither can I. But with that said, of the two Valiant books that I have no idea what's going on, I prefer this one.
That one bad dude, remember he was out in the regular world fighting people or something. Remember?
Oh, yes, you're right.
Sorry, okay. When you read like a million books like we do, we tend to forget stuff like this. All right, I think that's going to do it for this week's books. So let's move on to our next segment. As you've all been waiting for, our picks of the week. Everything is awesome. Everything is cool.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Gentlemen, your picks?
I'm gonna go with Injection.
Ooh. Sir, I'm offended that you didn't mention Scarlet Witch.
I'm going with Injection too.
Okay.
Is my favorite book this week.
Alright. And so for those of you who are listening for the contest, email those at comicconversations1@gmail.com, 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 and we will talk to you and we will send you out those graphic novels.
Wait, what was yours?
Scarlet Witch. Remember? I said I'm offended that you didn't pick Scarlet Witch.
Well, yeah, that didn't mean you were gonna.
That's true. Yeah, we kind of needed that spelled out for the folks as well. All right, with that out of the way, let's go into next week's books.
Wherever you go, whatever you do, I will be right here waiting for you. Whatever it takes, or how my heart breaks, I will be right here waiting for you.
Okay, Laura, what do we have for next week's books? I'm eagerly anticipating writing these down.
We have two Aftershock books that we can't get. One of them is written by Azzarello, and I really want to read it.
But
One of them is Super Zero 2, which is the one I really wanted to read but couldn't find anywhere. So Aftershock, put your stuff digitally.
You fools.
I want to read it, and I'm not going to a comic shop, and even if I did, they wouldn't carry your badly promoted books anyway. You got good creative teams. Push it so I can read it. Jesus.
Don't they make more with digital too?
Yes, because they don't have to print.
Fools!
Whatever.
They don't get reviewed on Comic Conversations.
I'm sure there's some reason they're not, but I'm just saying. I bet I could find, that one I wanted to read too. Okay, I'm looking. Astro City.
Hooray!
Clean Room.
Ooh. This is shame
enough. We can argue about what happened to that.
Do we argue on that? I don't remember doing that.
Me and Marvel argued because he really liked it, and I said, well, they haven't explained anything yet. So. Okay. And then, yeah. No. Lucifer, number 2.
Damn, this is shaping up to be a pretty damn good week.
Oh, no, wait, never mind. That's the reprint. Never mind. I was looking at Dark Knight.
Yeah, it's, no. I believe we dropped Red Thorn.
Yes.
No. Oh yeah, you're right. I don't want to read Red Thorn anymore.
Yeah, we dropped it. We don't want to read that anymore. We read enough Vertigo books, damn it.
Red Thorn's no buys.
Okay, I'm looking. Amazing Forest. No, I don't want to read that. I don't even know what it is. Looking. Sorry.
That's okay.
Symmetry, number 2.
Ooh, the book that you had.
You didn't read it.
Yeah, I didn't read it, and I meant to read it, but I forgot to read it. Okay, I'll remember to read the last.
It's got a good premise. I wasn't enamored with the first issue, but it seems like it's a good premise, and it might go somewhere interesting, so I'd recommend reading it.
Okay.
Tokyo Ghost, number 5.
Ooh.
That's for you guys.
Thank you. Very considerate of you, which is often not usually the case. I'm just kidding.
Oh,
I'm just kidding. You're a nice guy.
Trying. Hey, Wolf number 5. That's back.
That's felt like forever since we read that.
That's because they took a break.
I think we dropped that, Fetman.
No, because Fetman liked the last issue.
Yeah.
Did he? I don't remember.
It's one of those things where I'm always off and on. Sometimes I'll like an issue. Sometimes I'll hate an issue. Well,
new story arc, so. Worth a shot, okay, and then we have Astonishing Ant-Man number 4.
Okie dokie, Ant-Man.
And we've all tried a million times, I'm gonna try again, Captain Marvel number 1.
Wow.
Eventually, this book is gonna be enjoyable.
I'll wait to see how many books we have this week, then maybe I'll read it.
Okay,
I'm reading it.
We're
no
down to Marvel what. Already, and we don't have a ton. I mean, we already went through, I think, Image and IDW, so I didn't see.
You never know.
Hercules!
Marvel can have 50.
That's true.
Hercules.
Continue.
And then a bunch of reprints. Oh, Howard the Duck number 2 got a reprint.
Awesome. That was a great issue. That was the one with
Did you skip over Hercules? I think that's new, ain't it?
He said, I sang it.
He sang it comically. Hercules, Hercules, Hercules.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't get it.
Jesus, man. Miss Marvel number 3.
Oh, you forgot Hercules.
No, I didn't. I sang it.
I'm just being a dick.
Miss Marvel number 3.
Got it.
New Avengers.
God damn it, that fucking book.
Something I'm very excited for, Silver Surfer.
Huzzah!
Oh my god, and they're doing a Punisher Max complete collection, which that for anyone who didn't read that, read it. It was great. It was Jason Aaron, like, Elseworlds Punisher run, but it still felt like a Punisher book. It was about him fighting Kingpin as Kingpin was first becoming the Kingpin. It was awesome.
Kingpin, 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 Kingpin.
Yeah, it's Punisher versus Kingpin.
I know, but you said an awful lot.
I know. I said Silver Surfer, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Starbrand Night Mask.
Did we like the first issue? I thought... We did. Yeah,
me and Fat Man liked it, and you were like, I'm surprised I like this.
It's the guy who did Gargoyles. Come on. How can it be bad?
Uncanny Inhumans.
And I'm already seeing what's behind that. We're not reading that.
Yes, we are not reading Uncanny X-Men.
The hell with that book.
And then we have Imperium.
Ooh.
And Wrath of the Eternal Warrior.
Let's see how many books.
And Rye number 1, special $1 edition.
I don't think that constitutes as a new book.
No, I just wanted to say, because Rye's good.
All right.
The Vine Imperative finale.
Cool.
But I love this storyline.
It was like the best arc they've had like in a long time.
Never.
Alright, this comes out to 17 books, Marvel. Not too bad. All things considered, that's a lighter week. I wouldn't get carried away and say it's a light week.
Do you want me to pick out some...
No,
do you want me to add more?
It's funny, you're the guy who often complains how many books we have to read, but you're the one who always picks stuff out.
Because the thing is, I like reading new stuff.
Mm.
But then, like, I want to read the new stuff, and I don't want to read the old stuff anymore. I'm very, I flip back and forth a lot. Like, I don't want us to read Devi Witchblade.
You're a flip-flopper. You're a flip-flopper, brother.
Oh, dude, I am. I should run for president. And then they'll do humorous ads about me. Like, Lura said he believed this, but he really believed this.
I like that in political ads they would use your Comic Conversations board podcast name.
The funny thing is I could never run for public office. Primarily, well, number one, because I'm not a lawyer and I'm not rich, but... Also, because I do this show, they would find that thing where I called Luke Cage a darkie, and they would just...
I like that you're referencing to it now, just in case, for the folks who haven't heard that, and for all intents and purposes want to forget that you brought that up.
Nobody's gonna believe that I mean, my comeback is like, well, I didn't say it in a racist way. Nobody's gonna believe that.
And then in the same breath, you put over Black Panther, so it's like...
Well, but at the time, I was really liking Black Panther, and I kept, every week I talk about how Black Panther needs his own comic. It's ridiculous he doesn't have a comic.
And then in the same breath, you talk about Luke Cage.
Well, no, I was talking about what his character was, and I jokingly said his character is, he's, I don't know, a darkie, because he has no character.
It's gonna be taken out of context.
All right, let's end this.
All right. So from all of us at halfguard.com, thanks for checking out the show, and as always, see you guys next week. Adios.